Our reading this morning is from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we're starting at verse 12. If you're following in the Pew Bible, it's page 1153. And the section that we're reading is entitled One Body, Many Parts. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But, in fact, God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you, and the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honourable, we treat with special honour. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honour to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honoured, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And in the church, God has appointed first of all apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then workers of miracles, also those having gifts of healing, those who are able to help others, those with gifts of administration, and those with speaking in different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But eagerly desire the greater gifts.
Good morning, all. Just want to briefly recap where we were last week. And I always feel a bit embarrassed about saying things more than once, because I tend to get things the first time, and it sort of irritates me as people start repeating things. But I do understand that you don't necessarily hang on every word. And sometimes I say something, your mind goes off on something else, and you miss the next bit. Well, I justify only in that Paul is repeating himself. So if the Apostle Paul can repeat himself and feels he needs to, even though he's an excellent and eloquent communicator, maybe I need to repeat myself as well. So, last week we were thinking about the year ahead, the things that we might face together in that year, and what God had been saying to us. And we felt that God was calling us to respond to what he had said to us, to actually do something in response to what he'd said. I added to that feedback from the church meeting that I felt God was saying that we need to eagerly desire spiritual gifts and follow the way of love, and that we need to become an inviting church, not just a welcoming church. And I thought that that applied to more than just inviting people to church, but also in terms of inviting God to move amongst us rather than just welcoming him when he does. And we went on to think about what success might look like in the coming year. And I suggested that our true success, our genuine success, would be proportional to how much we allow God to work in and through us. I use that image of a tap, that the more you turn the tap on, the more water comes through. I suggest that it's possible to be a Christian and yet to be ignorant about the gifts of the Spirit. And I gave some different reasons that we might be ignorant. There's no knowledge of the Spirit, no experience of the Holy Spirit, no desire for spiritual gifts. I suggest that it was also possible to be a Christian and yet not eagerly desiring, but we can become eager. We thought about three ways to do that. First of all, recognizing that the gifts that God gives are diverse. And we had some, what are they called? Licorice all sorts, to remind us of the diversity of the gifts, different service and different workings. Then we thought about another way of becoming eager is submission to the gift giver, that it is the Holy Spirit himself who gives the gifts, and therefore, as we submit to him, we're willing to receive whatever gift he brings. And if we're desiring to follow the way of love, we'll very soon find we cannot do it without supernatural help from the Spirit. So these all help us to become more eager in desiring the gifts of the Spirit. Well, today we're thinking about bodybuilding. You might imagine some of the pictures that came up when I put a search into Google. But this was the one that I particularly wanted to look for. Thinking about the way in which the body of the church is put together. Perhaps a very familiar metaphor for us now, as we've probably heard it several times from the Apostle Paul and read out in church. This picture of the church being a body. And Paul, very strongly here, is talking to Greeks and to Jews, saying that God has combined the Old Testament belief through the prophets, expressed through the Jewish faith, and he's brought them to an understanding of the coming Messiah, and through the Gentiles, he's brought them in through Jesus as well, so that there is now one body. There is no hierarchy in the body of Christ. There isn't the excellent Jewish Christians and the mediocre Gentile Christians that aren't really up to scratch but are let in anyway. Nor is there the old-fashioned Jewish Christians and the brand spanking new Gentile Christians that are the best bee's knees. We are one body. And so he applies that to their current situation, but it applies to us. It applies to our situation that we gather. One of the reasons I love that first song that we sang, Come Ye Thankful People Come, is that it speaks about coming down our many shapes and sizes, come, and as one body, worship and praise the one true God. So there is that sense of coming together with our different gifts and variety and praising God. So I just want to draw out two, I think, pretty simple points out of what Paul's saying in this passage about the way in which we should allow the Holy Spirit to exercise his power among us to build up that body of Christ. So the first really illustrates last week's teaching about the variety of gifts. And Paul talks about the human body having different parts that have different functions. He talks about the ear and the eye. We might think about the variety that there is in the body. Who was it that did this picture? Some artistic person. Andy Warhol, that was the one. It's quite a thought-provoking picture, isn't it? It talks about variety, and it's that Heinz beans tin with the 57 varieties. I don't know what the 57 varieties are. As far as I know, it's just tomato, isn't it? But this picture, they're all different, and yet, actually, if you look at them carefully, they are all the same. They're just beans. And I wonder if there's something about that in the gifts that God gives. We think about the variety of the gifts, the eye, the ear, and yet they serve a single purpose. They serve the body, forming that diversity and that unity. And so I was thinking about that. I was thinking about the orchestra and how a single note, say on a flute, will sound very different to another wind instrument, let's say an oboe. Both play, scientifically, exactly the same note. And yet, the colour is different. The overtones are different, and so they sound different. Having an orchestra entirely of flutes may be a little odd. And yet, sometimes as Christians, we sort of look for a church where everybody else is exactly the same as us. Look for a church of flutes, so that they all sound the same as us. And yet, that's not what God's designed. He said, you know, where would the body be? Where would the orchestra be if you were all flutes? We did hear a ukulele band recently. That was quite something as well. We won't go there. So there's a sense in which the variety that is given by God is given for a single purpose. A single purpose. And Paul keeps repeating that phrase, where would the body be? Where would there be that sense of us working together out of our differences unless we were different? So I've talked about this as interdependence. And I want to draw out a couple of things out of interdependence. But that we are called to interdependence. So the different body parts necessarily appear different because they have different functions. But Paul says we've all drunk the same spirit, we're all immersed, baptized in the same spirit. We might think about the same spirit flowing amongst us. So there's a single purpose, although a variety of appearance. So let me think about a hand and a foot. It would be, and Paul is using some humour here, we often miss the smile on his face when he's talking. He talks about the eye and the ear, but we might talk about a hand and a foot. If the hand was to say to the foot, you know, I don't belong in this body. Just look at your hand, you know. Your hand suddenly said, I'm sorry, but I'm off. You know, I don't look like that foot. Clearly, you're somebody that values your feet, and you don't really bothered about your hands, so I'm not a foot, I'm out of here. It's ridiculous, isn't it? I mean, clearly you need your hand and your foot. They're designed differently for different functions. It is possible to walk on your hands. I'd like to see some of you try it. It is also possible to write with your feet, even to paint pictures with your feet. But they're not designed for that, and therefore it takes superhuman effort. So just because you look different doesn't mean that you're in the wrong body. Each is perfectly designed for the task it's created to perform. And so equally, it's spiritually true that Christians are designed perfectly to perform the task that they've been given. They appear different, they have different gifts and different ministries, different workings of that ministry. And that was my point about the note, really, that the same gift might be given into a different person, the same breath blows through the instrument, and yet it sounds different. And that's not a bad thing. That's part of the colour of God's working, that he works with who he's made us to be. Yet I've heard Christians conclude that because they don't have the same gifts as somebody else in the church, they don't belong. It's preposterous, isn't it? Just because you're different, the actual truth is, that's why you're needed. Because you are different. I want to let you into a secret. This is something that I discovered after many years of pastoral research. We are all different. And do you know what that means? It means that every single person in this room feels that they are the odd one out. We all feel we're the odd one out. I used to think it was just me. And you might say, well, it is. But I've talked to a lot of people, and when they let the guard down, they start saying, well, of course, I'm the only single person here. Well, of course, I'm the only married person here that doesn't have children. Well, of course, I'm the only widow here. Well, of course, I'm the only young person here. Of course, I'm the only person that has 7.5 feet here. And so you can go on. And you'll find a reason that you are different and you're not the same as other people. You need to look at that for a little while before you notice the odd one out. You know, each one of us is unique. Unique. Unique means you're an odd one out. It's just a positive spin on that. We are each different. So if you go to a church and you look around and you think, well, there aren't other people like me here, why are you surprised? You are unique. We don't need to find a place where there are other people like us. We can simply look in the mirror if we want to find somebody like us. No two people are exactly the same. Yet, what unites us is one Lord, one Spirit, one faith. That is where the body is. We are different and unique, yet united through that one thing, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I've discovered that the enemy uses two tactics to isolate us and hence destroy that sense of interdependence. So to isolate us and destroy interdependence. And Paul gives two illustrations of this using that extended metaphor of the body. So the first thing that he uses is inferiority. Inferiority. Because I'm not a preacher, because I'm not an evangelist, because I don't have the gift of tongues, because I just don't belong. I'm inferior to other Christians. This is how it sounds on the inside. Because, of course, you don't sit there and think, I feel inferior. This is what you think. You think, I am useless. Everything that I can do is easy. The only things that are of any value are those things that I can't do. Those are the hard things, the things that other people do. I am useless. You're not useless. The gifts that God has placed in you are unique. The tone that he produces through you is unique. You are precious in his sight. And the gifts that he gives are not worthless. They are essential to the building up of the body. So inferiority is one of the things that seeks to divide us from the body. Because we see ourselves as useless, we therefore opt out and say, I don't belong in the body. The second tactic, superiority, what we sometimes call pride. It would be ludicrous for one part of the body to decide it doesn't need to be in the body. What about the eye? I could have given you a very gory picture of an eye, but I thought this one was more gentle. But how much use would an eye be unattached to the rest of the body? I'm sorry for that image in your mind now, but it's pretty useless. It's a fantastic instrument, a brilliant combination of physics and biology bringing together and beauty that expresses something of who you are as a person and yet is so valuable to us in our senses. An amazing thing. But disconnected from the body, you don't put it, I mean, I'm sorry, but you don't put it on the mantelpiece, do you? You don't put it and think, what a beautiful eye that is. You know, it really needs to be connected to somebody for it to be of use. And yet, I come across Christians who say, I don't need you. I don't need to be part of the body. This is how proud pride sounds on the inside. Because you don't say to yourself, I am proud, I won't go to church. This is what you say. They're all hypocrites. They hurt me. I don't need them. I can watch songs of praise on television. I can read my Bible and pray. Why do I need to go to church? I don't need them. So inferiority says,
they don't need
me. Superiority says, I don't need them. Is it possible to be a Christian and not go to services? Absolutely. Absolutely, it is possible to be a Christian and not go to services. But you will lack the gifts of the others in the congregation, and the gathering will lack your gifts. It is possible to opt out of the body, but in doing so, we lose something important. Because each part is as important as every other. You know, it is possible to live without a toe or an earlobe. But how many of this morning's congregation would like to give one up? You know, I've had a pair of scissors and said, do you mind if I just take your earlobe? You know, so you live without it. But you're not keen, are you? You're not keen. And why is that? Because it's going to hurt. I'm sorry, you're going to have nightmares tonight, aren't you? I'm always getting told off for giving people nightmares. So it's going to hurt. And the body is never going to be quite as it should be from that moment on. You're going to have a bit that is missing. In the same way, there are people who have absented themselves from being part of the body. And through doing so, the body still functions. It still hurts. We need every gift because God has given them and he gives the gifts that we need. So spiritually we need every person whom the Lord our God has called because everyone has a gift that we need. We need them spiritually listening and seeing and tasting and feeling and talking and walking. For us to function properly, fully, as the Spirit enables. And that means we need to meet, at least occasionally. We need to come together in order to share those gifts. No believer is unimportant, and no believer, however gifted, can function without using the gifts of others. So the body needs every part. Even the parts that we sometimes find embarrassing. The parts that we find a little awkward or difficult. We need those parts in the body. We need every part, every believer that the Lord our God has called. So Paul opened this section in verse 11, by reminding the believers that all the gifts are the work of the one Spirit, and he gives them to each one as he determines. And he closes it by reminding us that God has appointed people to particular ministries in the church. And there are no gifts that everyone has. I'll try to just work the logic of that out. What he says is that there is no gift that everyone has. Do all. No. So not everyone can do everything. That's not quite it. Not everyone can do that particular thing. So what that means is, when I worked it through, I think what it means is, whatever gift you've got, there's somebody that doesn't have that gift. Check it out afterwards. But I think that's what it means. Whatever gift you have, there's somebody in the congregation that doesn't have that gift. Others might have it, but somebody doesn't have that gift. And of course you will operate it in a different way to anybody else that has that gift anyway. So how do we apply this? How do we apply it? Well, Paul applies it by saying, so eagerly desire the spiritual gifts to build up the body. Here's how I'd like to continue to apply that. See, the thing is, this happens quite often for a minister. You're here. So I'm preaching to the people that don't need to hear this. Because you're here. And maybe you were here today thinking, well, I'm not going to bother going again. You know, the last chance, the last time I'm going to go. So maybe you needed to hear it. But for most of you, you were going to come next week, whatever I said. come next week. But there are people that used to come. And maybe some of them you thought, phew. But actually, the Lord our God has called. Even the ones that are a bit embarrassing. You need all of them. So maybe where one thing we can start in applying is to say we need to invite people. We need to invite them. And of course, it is possible that somebody's listening on the computer and maybe they're going to another church. Well, that's great. Bless you. Wherever you're going.
But maybe you're not going anywhere, in which case we warmly invite you to come.
Don't we? Listening on the computer, you're warmly invited to come. Join us. Whether you've been hurt or you've taken offence, whether it's pride that's led you to think you don't need others, we invite you to reconsider, to come, to join us. Because we need them, and they need us. To help us in that task, and we've been thinking a lot about inviting, somebody said to me, it'd be really useful if we just had a little card to help us invite people to church. So, never daunted by an excuse, here is a solution. There's a little card that says,
you are warmly invited to our morning worship Sunday at 10:30 a.m. and it gives the address. So that just sometimes is
helpful if you're saying to somebody, you know, why didn't you come to church? You can give them that and then they don't have the excuse. If they don't know where it is, they don't know what time it is. To invite them with. So maybe that's inviting somebody back who used to come and doesn't come now, or somebody who knows a Christian, but
they don't bother going to church. Maybe after this morning you'd be brave enough to
say, actually, we need you. We need you, and actually, you need us. Come
and be part of the body.
So I'll leave those there. Please take some. I've got 100. Wouldn't it be great if we didn't have 100 of them sitting on our mantelpiece at home, but in this year, 100 of us gave an invitation to somebody to come and join that body. It's all right, Peter, you can wait until later. God bless you. But sometimes it's those that have taken offence or those that have been hurt who leave and need to be invited back. Sometimes they need some prayer to help them to do that. But what about the rest of us? Well, it is possible to be in the room and not functioning as part of the body. I'm a great advocate of church membership, but it's possible to be a church member in abstract,
i.e. no practical relevance.
So
theoretically, you're a member, but actually you're not engaged. What sort of symptoms would show
engagement in the body? Well, reading the notice sheet and praying
through it. You're committed to the body. You are bearing with one another.
You are bearing the griefs and enjoying the
celebrations with others.
Praying for one another. Praying that God might pour his gift
into you
for others. Maybe there is a need in the congregation. Maybe there are those that need healing. There are those that for others, that thing that God wants to bring to them. So eagerly desiring those gifts that God gives in order to build up the body, not just sitting back and hoping that God will do it, but through somebody else. Okay, some more personal details about my life that you may not want to know, but here we go. I've lost
contact with my little toe.
It's not a joke. I genuinely have. A couple of years ago, I had some bad
plantar sciatica.
And since then, it doesn't work properly anymore.
It won't talk to me
anymore. It's just
cut off. It's still there.
It benefits from the rest of the body.
You know, it's pink
and healthy. I would show you, but it might put you off your lunch.
It's
benefiting from the rest of the body. Rest of the body. But it doesn't talk to me unless I stub it. And then it complains.
It really moans. But it's
sort of lost contact with the head. It's part of the body, but it's lost contact with the head. And all it ever does is notice when it's hurt. No relevance there, is there?
But sometimes it's possible to be like that,
isn't it?
You're a bit numb. You come.
But you're a bit numb to what's happening in the service.
You don't really
feel anything.
And you've lost contact with the head. You're not quite getting the message that Jesus is speaking to you.
We need to reconnect. Become part, become contributors into the body of Christ and not just physically present. I did say, I didn't mention this, but I would miss it if it was gone. If somebody chopped my little toe, I would miss it. And the same way, you know, sometimes there are members of the congregation that
perhaps aren't really contributing into the body as they
should. We'd still miss them. Doesn't mean we don't want you in the body.
I hope it doesn't mean you don't want me in the body. Because there are none of us that are perfect. We start from where we are.
We contribute from who we are now. So how do we respond to that? Well, I want to ask a few questions. Is there something that's preventing you from functioning as you should? Are you holding back? Holding back from exercising the gifts because they seem different to others in the church? I hope by the end of this sermon you now realize how ludicrous that is. That's precisely why we need those gifts expressed through you, because they are different to others in the church. Are you a semi-detached Christian? Attending, but not committing to helping the body, helping others in the church. I love the fact that amongst the ministries that God gives to the church, Paul highlights helping others.
So he says
prophets and apostles and teachers and helping others. As if the apostles
and prophets, they don't do anything that helps.
You know, but blessedly, alongside them, we've got people that actually help. So that's another gift
in the body of Christ.
And some of you are that, people that help. People that administer, these are gifts of the Spirit too. Are we rejecting the gifts that God offers through others because they are different, because they seem different, because you don't quite get them? So we don't receive everything that God is trying to say in and through them to us. So let's just spend a moment to pray before we continue to seek God in our worship. Lord, we recognize that each of us has come down different roads to this service today. We are each unique. As we come together as a body, we grieve. We grieve with those who grieve. Lord, we are heartbroken with those that are heartbroken. But equally,
Lord, you hold that and you give us hope so that we're able to celebrate with those who celebrate and see victory where you have been victorious in lives. So we seek you. We
seek the gifts that you give because we want our faith to be real faith. And not theoretical faith. Lord, we want it to mean something when we're betrayed. We want it to mean something when we're let down. We want to mean something when human relationships break and where life ends. We need you, Lord, to be the living God. The God who is able to do far beyond what we ask or imagine. And Lord, we're praying not just that you'd help us to be nice people, but that you'd help us to live the life of eternity right now, to be channels of your love and blessing and hope out into this world. Wherever you have placed us, in the midst of darkness, in the midst of opposition, We're praying, Lord, that you would make us bright, shining lights, even more so in this dark world. In order to do that, so we open our hearts and minds again to you, and we say, fill us with your Spirit, Lord. Fill us with those gifts that you have given. Release us from inferiority. Release us from pride, that we might serve one another in the fullness of Christ. Amen.